This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh! What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Cheers to the freaking weekend. Big time jam-packed show for you coming up. That caged animal, Chris Russell, we were able to tame him. He'll join us coming up at about 8:20. We're also here from Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora before we get out of here as well. But obviously, we're going to take a look at the Washington Commanders in the massive week seven slate in the National Football League. But as Toby Altizer let us know in his update, Washington Wizards preseason action underway over on our sister station, the Team 980. We'll talk a little bit of round ball before we get out of here as well, but I got to start with Thursday Night Football. Last night was one of the most disgusting, slimy, nasty Thursday Night Football games that I've seen in recent memory. I saw a tweet from my guy Benjamin Solak trying to talk about Bo Nix and the way that he plays the quarterback position. Benjamin Solak tweeted that Bo Nix cosplays the pocket, meaning he has no feel for where he is. It kind of is just out there. And if you got to watch any of Saints and Broncos last night, I mean, it was ugly. Two teams that aren't very good. One team in Denver that, let's just be real here. I don't think if you're a Broncos fan, you have any clue whether or not Bo Nix can play the position. And you're 4-3. Denver Broncos 4-3, despite not knowing whether or not Bo Nix is the franchise guy or not. It was good last night. Like him the way when he uses his legs. But if you've watched Broncos football this year, it has not been pretty. If you're a Broncos fan, you know what you're excited about most? Troy Franklin getting in on the party. It's been a slow start to his rookie year, to say the least, but hey, you know, don't hold your breath, I guess, on the Denver Broncos. 4-3, decent defense. Let's just be real. They're in a super tough division. But last night, a feel-good moment for them. What I want to talk about, and the reason I even cared to bring up Thursday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints are in football hell. That's the best way I can describe it. The New Orleans Saints are in football hell. Their cap situation is one of the worst I've seen in recent memory. And when you look at the roster of the New Orleans Saints, they're 2-5 right now, loses a 5 straight. It feels like it was just yesterday we were talking about them as one of the NFL's elites. They whooped up on the Dallas Cowboys. They whooped up on the Carolina Panthers. 2 straight contests to open up the year scoring 40 or more points. And man, have they come to a screeching halt. That team that played last night was unrecognizable compared to what they had in week 2 against Dallas. I'm just be straight up. And Richard Sherman on the broadcast last night for Amazon Prime was telling it how a TI is, saying that the Saints defense last night played with the sort of effort that screams, I want to get my coach fired. And there are clips out there of our boy Chase Young jogging around the field. And I'm the only one in this market, it feels like, that gives a rat's ass about Chase Young and whether or not he has a successful career from here on out. I happen to think that Chase Young is one of the bright spots of the New Orleans Saints here through the first month plus of the year. But good gracious. Good gracious. And it's not even like you can have a fire sale in New Orleans, because the dead cap hit you're going to take, their cap situation probably doesn't work itself out until 2026. At the earliest is when you start to see some relief. I mean, they have pushed contracts down the road and manipulated the salary cap. And let's be honest, the most irresponsible way that I have seen in recent memory, and that is why they're in the position that they're in, the saving grace for this football team, for this year at least, was supposed to be Spencer Rattler. And if you got to watch it all last night, he did some good things Sunday against Tampa, but Spencer Rattler still has a long, long way to go. He just does. Sacked 6 times. Didn't seem like he was very sure of himself in terms of where to go with the football. And they were playing without a bevy of different guys last night. So I want to give New Orleans, or Spencer Rattler at least, the benefit of the doubt in terms of why he got off to a slow start last night. But, I mean, it was interesting to watch. New Orleans and their schedule coming up, they're 2-5 right now. We don't know how much longer Derek Carr is going to be on the shelf for, but they've got L.A. at the Chargers, at Carolina. Two opportunities, if you're New Orleans, to maybe get yourself back to respectability. But, I mean, it does not get much easier. Still got Green Bay. Still got Washington. Still got Atlanta again. You got Tampa to finish off the season. The New Orleans Saints are in a very, very interesting spot. Who cares, though, about the Saints? Massive, massive Week 7 coming up in the National Football League. And the game we care about the most is the Washington Commanders looking to improve to 5-2 on the season as they play host to the Carolina Panthers on Darryl Green Day. That number 28 going to get retired. A bunch of alumni expected to be in attendance to support Darryl Green. And he's been on his media tour this week. He was on with the Junkies. I believe, was it this morning that he was on with the Junkies? He's been going around promoting Sunday and what it's going to mean to him. I believe he's getting the key to D.C., tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So Darryl Green weekend in full effect. And the hope is for Washington is that they get a much needed victory on Darryl Green weekend. And I've been discussing it all week long. If you're a real serious NFL outfit, not only do you walk out of Sunday with a victory, but you win in convincing fashion. See, the one thing about Washington this year, they have handled their business against the teams they were supposed to beat. That 2-game stretch at Arizona, home for Cleveland, they showed that they're not someone that's going to quote-unquote play with their food, right? If Washington is superior relative to their opponent, they're going to dog walk them up and down the field. I expect a similar outcome on Sunday against Carolina. But this is why I do the job that I do. I'm here to tell you. And if you joined me Wednesday night, I told you, yeah, Carolina at 1-5 is a complete dumpster fire, but the way that they have played since Andy Dalton took over as the starting quarterback, they are now a professional outfit on the offensive side of the football. They are. And the biggest thing that Washington must hone in on going into Sunday, one, not beating yourself, right? And then two, you have to stop Chuba Hubbard. That is the number one goal going into Sunday. It starts there. A guy, Grant Paulson, tweeted out these numbers earlier this week. And I've been paying, decent attention to the entirety of the National Football League. Do some national radios. You always got to stay on your toes. But Chuba Hubbard has run like a damn man possessed the past month. The numbers for Chuba Hubbard in his last four, 114 yards, 104 yards, 97 yards, 92 yards, to the tune of 5.6 yards a pop. Chuba Hubbard, say what you want about how how bad the offense is for the Carolina Panthers, all the shortcomings that they have. Say what you want about it. Chuba Hubbard, if you don't stop him, that is how Carolina stays in the football game. And if you got to watch any of their game last week against the Atlanta Falcons, right? You were down 5 going into the locker room, but your offensive line pretty much moved around that Falcons defensive front at will, right? So I am really in a spot heading into Sunday where I expect Washington to win convincingly, but my jaw wouldn't drop to the floor if this was a back-and-forth affair for a portion of this game. I'm going to respect the Carolina Panthers. And here's the thing. It is strength on weakness. That is the number one thing that gives me any sort of pushback, so to speak, when we talk about a potential Commanders dominating convincing win. And I look at the number one Achilles heel of this Washington Commanders football team. It is their inability to consistently stop the run. Washington's given up 5 yards a pop on the ground. That is the 4th most in the National Football League. So if Washington goes into this game trying to overlook the Carolina Panthers and don't play with detail and don't play with gap integrity, it's going to be a long afternoon. Because Chuba Hubbard and the Panthers don't care about Dale Green's jersey getting retired. They care about how they're viewed as the bottom feeder of the National Football League. That's all they care about. They're desperate. They need a win. Their season's probably already over here, 6 games into it. But you can't tell the guys in that locker room that. If you're Dave Canales, a first-year head coach, you run the risk of losing your locker room and quite frankly, getting your tenure off to a god-awful start if you do not pull out a win here. And if you're looking at the Carolina Panthers' schedule here and when they are going to have opportunity for victory, it starts this week. You're at Washington, then you're at Denver, then you're home for New Orleans. I mean, you say what you want, right? This is a prime opportunity for Carolina as well. I know that's how they're looking at it. That has to be how they're looking at it. It's just got to be. It's just got to be. So, my guy Terrence Newton, Commander Prez just tweeted at me. Just an FYI, Chase Young has 10 tackles and a sack and a half through 7 games. Not sure if that effort qualifies as a bright spot for the Ohio State standout. Come on. Are we going to omit the fact that Chase Young is 4th in the NFL in pressures? We're going to omit that? He came out the sack numbers, right? But understand that sacks are not everything. He's 4th in the NFL in pressures. He's getting to the quarterback, not getting sacks, but he's also on a bad football team. Jimmy is in Silver Spring. Jimmy, I'm sure you hated what I just said.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, the thing about Chase Young is he loafs. If you turn on the film, if he doesn't make the original pressure or sack, he is not running down the field to make tackles. That's Chase Young's problem. He's a loafer. Okay. If he doesn't get there right away, and you can turn on the film, you're a Chase Young fan. That's why he's not in Washington now. You know, he puts pressure on guys. He doesn't sack too many people. He will put pressure this year on a guy, but if you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, if you look at guys, defense line running downfield.
Man, are you trying to say that DeMarcus Lawrence plays with superb effort? Is that what you're trying to sit up here and argue? I get it. I get the loafing comment.
Not just DeMarcus Lawrence. If you look at all the great defensive linemen.
No one said he was great. Hey, no one's making the argument he's great. I'm telling you he's not the bust. than all of you make him out to be. He's not some talentless jobber the way you all describe him.
Yes, he is. I want to get to the Panthers and Commanders.
Sure.
If Deontay Johnson isn't playing, I see a blowout. If Deontay Johnson is playing, I like the Panthers plus the 8.5.
Wow.
I like plus the points. All you people talking about blowouts, you know, that's great, and you're feeling yourself. But if Deontay Johnson can play, I like Chuba and Deontay and Isaac Leggett to keep it close. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067. Jimmy in Silver Spring getting us kicked off. I don't know what it is. And I did not anticipate starting the show this way. The Chase Young hate is so hilarious to me because it describes what type of fan base we are. I don't even want to say we. I guess I got to say we because I get the same way with some guys. You all love a guy when he's playing good. You all love a guy when it's all peaches and cream. But the moment adversity strikes, you all turn on dudes on that play for this team like to change your draws. It's incredible. We've seen it with athlete after athlete after athlete that has come here. You all flip the script so quick on guys here. And I understand it, right? I understand why Chase Young is a soft spot. I do. Former number 2 overall pick. Came out like gangbusters during the rookie year. Really looked as if he was going to be one of the franchise cornerstones moving forward. And it was about as ugly of a finish and an ending as I've seen here in recent memory with a former first round pick. From the daddy calling into the station, from Chase skipping OTAs, you know, to some of the rumors that I've heard. You know, it ended messy. I understand why there's a sour taste in folks' mouth. But come on. Local kid, right? From this area. Hadn't gotten in any trouble off the field. Is a good person for the most part. I don't know. I don't know. I still have hope that Chase Young is able to turn into a high-level NFL talent. I think guys like him at the edge rusher spot don't grow on trees. I think he is not in the right spot in terms of going to a destination and really being able to blossom. I think where he was last year in San Francisco with a strong culture, a strong infrastructure, I think that is the best place for a guy like Chase Young. I'd love to see Chase Young in Baltimore. Because you know what's not going to fly in Baltimore? The loafing that we see from Chase Young. What you all accurately pointed out, I called it out last year, right? And I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was dealing with the neck injury. He's healthy now, though. All of the built-in and baked-in excuses for Chase Young no longer exist. So if folks want to be critical of Chase Young, fine. Be critical of Chase Young. It's fair to this point. 1-800-636-1067. I'll tell you this. Saints are having a fire sale right now. If for some reason Chase Young is made available, you know who'd want him back in Washington? This guy. As long as that didn't cost you much. We need edge rush help. Point blank. This Commander's defense hasn't set a strong edge since week 7 last year. They just haven't. This defensive front has to step up, and folks are going to overlook the Panthers' offensive line because that's what we do. We look at the record and we think the team stink. I tell you what, Brady Christensen, Robert Hunt, Ike Ekwonu, those guys were whipping the Falcons' ass last week in the first half. Come into Sunday thinking that this is a shoe-in victory. Come into Sunday thinking that you don't have to put your best foot forward and you're going to be in for a dogfight. Shouldn't be that way. But if Washington doesn't come into this with a proper mentality, then I can guarantee you it will be. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll keep you up to speed on the Wizards preseason action throughout the rest of the show as well. A couple of rookies in the starting lineup, Keyshawn George, as well as Bub Carrington, both starting tonight for the Washington Wizards. The Wizards trio of rookies have shot the ball very well from behind the arc. Happy to give you all updates of that game as we roll throughout the show. We'll take a spin around the National Football League as well and look at all the hot-button storylines as we get geared up for week number 7. When we come back, though, we will take a look, a deeper look, at what is ahead for the Washington Commanders. Should the Commanders be aggressive at the trade deadline? Tell you what I think next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and Gone South Season 4 will be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just getting rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Liddell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network programming note coming up at about 8:20, about Chris Russell, the Rooster, going to join us. Take a look ahead at Sunday's big-time contest for the Washington Commanders. We talked about it in the opening segment. Big weekend for the history of the franchise. Greatest defensive back in team history. Dale Green getting his number 28 jersey retired on Sunday. The Commanders already starting their Daryl Green weekend festivities yesterday, introducing the Daryl Green suite. Exclusive for him and his folks at Northwest Stadium. So definitely an exciting weekend. And I guess, I don't know, it feels like, and I guess Sam Fortier of the Washington Post asked this question today or yesterday, just how important it is for the relationship between the alumni and the current players, how important that relationship is to stay strong and remain strong. And, you know, DQ has always given a phenomenal answer. But I wonder, you know, how much the players realize, the current players, I guess, realize the significant impact of Daryl Green and the impact he's had on the franchise. As a younger cat, like, I can almost say that I fully don't appreciate, I guess, or understand just how great Daryl was during his time here in Washington. And you know, the big thing that Daryl preached last year when he was kind of brought back to the forefront of the franchise is the ownership group and how important their group has taken it to keep the former members of the Burgundy and Gold engaged in the product. And I think, you know, Josh Harris and company continue to nail everything on the head since they've gotten here, and they're doing most things right. I think Daryl Green and having his jersey retired, long overdue, by the way, but ultimately the correct decision. Hopefully Washington can get a victory in front of Daryl Green. Won't be easy for the Commanders to get a win. We talked about it on Wednesday, and I hit on it hard in the open. I just continue to feel like, you know, this Carolina Panthers matchup is a unique one. It is, because it is team strength on team weakness. Gave you the numbers on Washington's rush defense. Bottom four in the National Football League when it comes to rushing yards allowed per carry. So Washington's got to improve in that category. In the other area that I worry about, I don't even want to say I worry about it, but I can see how things could go south. They've got to generate a pass rush. And I understand how difficult it is to do that when you're down Dorrance Armstrong, you're down John Allen, you're down Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Like, I get that. But you have to get after Andy Dalton. And if you do, if you can consistently get after Andy Dalton, we know he's going to leave it up for grabs. You will have opportunities to turn Carolina over. But their offensive line, right? A couple of big-name free agent acquisitions, or a couple of big-name starters, rather. Robert Hunt acquired via free agency for the Miami Dolphins. He signed a big-time deal. And then the former first-round pick, Ike Ekwonu, has had his struggles. But once again, as a former first-round pick, I said it in the open, they did a really nice job running the football against Atlanta last week in that first half. They were physical at the point of attack. They were moving guys off the ball. And the recipe is out for how to, you know, run the football against Washington. I remember when Washington first drafted John and Duron, and we went through that period where nobody could run the football on us. Feels like each of the past 2 years, 3 years really, they have had significant issues stopping the run. And this year in particular, and I said it all week long, for whatever reason, our defensive tackles get displaced in the run game by double teams. It feels like more than anybody in the NFL. And that is an area that they are going to have to get better at. May not have to be at your best this week because Carolina is a dumpster fire. But you look at the upcoming schedule for the Commanders. Everyone's got this group penciled in as a playoff team. I said it before the season started, that if all things went well and if Jaden Daniels was who I thought he was, they could win 9-10 games. I still think that is feasible, but I do understand that, like, hey, look, you don't match up particularly well with every team you got to play the rest of the way. That's just a fact of the situation. So you could go and look at a game like New York at New York in 2 weekends and think that that's a gimme, but realize that you barely were able to skate by that team in week 2. They're getting better. They're playing better football. So I look at big picture, what remains for Washington. I'm not certain that they make the postseason. I think if I had to put money on it, right? Now, I guess this tells what you really feel. If I had to put money on it, you bet your ass I would bet us to make the postseason. Just because it's hard to see this group in particular collapsing. But this number from my guy J.P. Finley a couple of days ago that I sent to myself. In the past 5 years, teams that have started 4-2 in the NFL have a 70% chance of making the postseason and more than a 50% chance of getting to the divisional round. Now, if Washington won a playoff game, it'd be the first playoff win since 2005. Is the team good enough to do that? Well, first you got to get there. And I think Washington's best route, I would think, to clinching a playoff spot would be to win that NFC East crown. And going into this weekend, they have a clear lead in the NFC East. They're 1-0 within the division, but they've only played one division game to this point. So I think your best chance is winning the NFC East. But right now, according to the past 5 years, Washington's got a 70% chance of making the playoffs. Do I feel that confidently that they'll make it? I don't know. 70% is strong. And there's a lot that can change and happen between now and season's end. You look at this next stretch of games for Washington. Erase Carolina. I don't want to do that. That's what I'm telling you all not to do. But look past Carolina for a second. You're 5-2 heading into that massive showdown next weekend against Caleb Williams and the Bears. Look at this upcoming schedule. Home for Chicago, at New York, home for Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia on a short week, home for Dallas, home for the Titans. Your next six games, best case scenario, I would say, is going 4-2, 3-3. And I look at it from a matchup perspective. And I don't want to look too far ahead. I have picked Washington to win each and every week this season. I have major reservations about picking them next week at home against Chicago. I do. From a matchup standpoint, I mean, it couldn't have been drawn up any worse. Caleb Williams and company turning a corner offensively. Their running game picking up. DeAndre Swift the last 3 weekends has been as productive as any back in the National Football League. Who struggles to stop the run? This group. You look at what they have on the perimeter. So if you don't stop DeAndre Swift in the run game and you allow them to have balance offensively, how in the hell do you defend what they have on the perimeter with Cole Kmet, with Keenan Allen, with Rome Odunze, with DJ Moore? How do you stop that? And then defensively, we keep talking about litmus tests for Jaden Daniels in this offense. Cleveland, tremendous litmus test. Last weekend against Baltimore, tremendous litmus test. 2 Sundays from now against Chicago, another one of those big boy, grown man tests for this offense. 100%. Chicago defensively playing as well as any group in the National Football League. They've got a pass rush. They got ball hawks. So it is interesting in terms of what the next 6 weeks look like in particular. And I really look at the stretch between Philly and Pittsburgh. You take on Pittsburgh 1 o'clock Sunday on November the 10th, right? And then you play Philadelphia on a short week. You want to talk about being black and blue going into a game. I would think, right, that you feel the effects of playing a team like Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's at home. Benefit of the doubt for that. And I'll say this, if Russell Wilson's the starter, I give you a much better shot as well. But it's tough. Do I think they can win? For sure. I said it all week. Based on the way they played Sunday, based on the way Jaden Daniels has performed, you have a one percenter at the quarterback position. One of those guys that will give you a legit opportunity to win each and every time out. That just is what it is. He is that good playing the quarterback position. But I begin, when the matchups change, I begin thinking about the other shortcomings on this football team. When I look at Chicago, I laid out their weaknesses. I look at the New York Giants and the way that they were able to run the football against us in their first meeting, making, you know, 26 and white look like the old 26 and white. Devin Singletary looked like Saquon Barkley. Can't have that happen. And I worry that with John Allen going out and that interior defensive line rotation getting thinner, are the run game bugaboos going to all of a sudden cure themselves? I don't know. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we just looked at Washington's upcoming schedule the next 6 weeks. Best case scenario, 3-3, 4-2. When we come back, I'll give you a scenario at the trade deadline for Washington, and I'll tell you whether or not they should be buyers or sellers. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movie. Lynnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up at about 8:20, our pal Chris Russell, host of The Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1 to 4 over on our sister station, the Team 980, set to join us as we continue to look ahead to Sunday. Big time game for the Washington Commanders, Daryl Green Weekend, what we're dubbing it as the great number 28, going to get his jersey retired on Sunday. Expect a packed house out at Northwest Stadium to honor Daryl Green. And I feel like, you know, hopefully, and I don't know that this should be expected because honestly, in recent memory, this doesn't happen. Hopefully, they are able to honor Daryl Green with a win. Because a lot of people have penciled in Carolina as the automatic victory, and I continue to warn you all that they are a professional NFL outfit just as we are. And one thing that the first six weeks of the NFL season should have showed you is that anybody can be had any week. We see upsets out of the wazoo week in, week out in the National Football League, and I'm just prepared for anything at this point. But if all things go as expected, Washington leaves Sunday's contest 5-2, and honestly feeling really good about themselves relative to the playoff picture in the NFC. You have to be. And then you take a look at Washington's upcoming schedule, and you go, how good is this group? How good is this group? Now, another storyline that I feel like maybe we're, I don't know, I don't want to say underscoring it, but this weekend would make it actually mean something. Washington 2-0 at home this season. Both of their losses have come on the road. Start off 3-0 at home after being as abysmal as you were at home under the mortician. I think, you know, I just feel like it's something to cheer about. It's something to be excited about. But as I said coming into last weekend's game, Washington's at a point right now where, yeah, they're going to be high on people's power rankings, but when you inject folks with truth serum, I wonder how good folks actually think Washington is. Put the quarterback to the side for a second. Because like I said Wednesday night, I can make an argument. He's playing as good a quarterback as anybody in the National Football League right now. But when I look at Washington in its totality, big picture, I think you have to wonder, right? Can the offense overcome the shortcomings of this defense week in and week out? Especially with the defensive line now dealing with a little bit of attrition. No Dorrance Armstrong for at least this game. No John Allen for at least the next month, for the rest of the year. No Javonte Jean-Baptiste for at least the next month. So I begin to wonder, like, well, started off good, but will they be able to continue to eke out victories, right, when they get into the more difficult portion of their schedule? Games like Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia twice, Atlanta. That's my concern. But just looking ahead at the next couple of weeks, Washington, next 3 weeks, have Carolina, Chicago, at New York. All three of those games take place before the November 5th trade deadline. It's weird. Trade deadline and election day overlap each other this year. The craziest thing possible. Another opportunity for the NFL to puff its chest out and show that it's the most important thing in the world. That's how a lot of you feel. But best case scenario, I say, for Washington is that obviously you're 7-2 coming out of the trade deadline. That means you beat Carolina, you beat Chicago, you beat New York. Realistically, in my heart of hearts, do I think they get each of the next three? I think it's possible. Guaranteed? Far from it. So I'm interested to see how the next couple of weeks play each other out. But let's play hypothetical Harry here for a second. If Washington is 7-2 heading into their week 11 matchup, I believe, against Pittsburgh, should they be aggressive at the trade deadline? And when I say aggressive, I mean aggressive. Going out and acquiring talent that will help usher you to the postseason. What should their mentality be at the deadline if they are 7-2? Because I get both sides of the argument. There is a sector of you out there who feel as if, no, first year of a rebuild, you're out kicking your coverage at this point, you're ahead of schedule. That doesn't mean mortgage your future. I'll say this, being aggressive at the trade deadline doesn't necessarily mean mortgaging your future. It's calling and checking in on players that are on losing football teams but have strengths at your positions of need. That's what this trade deadline should be about. There really isn't a trade out there that I'm willing to make where I push all the chips in. That's just Myles Garrett. Cleveland makes Myles Garrett available. I'd give up Terry McLaurin to get Myles Garrett. I mean, it's that deep for me. Like, I think they need a difference maker in that front seven when it comes to rushing the passer. So there's only a few guys I'd really push all the chips in on, but there's some rushers out there that intrigue me. Carl Granderson in New Orleans is a guy that I potentially would be interested in that you aren't going to have to break the bank for in terms of compensation and draft capital. Right? That's a guy that I would look at. I would even go to Miami. If Miami loses this week and they drop the 2-4, how much more meaningful football do they have left with Tua Tagovailoa's health in jeopardy? Do you go and make a call on your old pal Kendall Fuller or on a Jalen Ramsey for that matter? Right? Like, how aggressive, if they are 7-2 at the deadline, How aggressive should they be? I keep going back to Jacksonville. 1-5, probably going to be 1-6 after their trip to London this weekend. I guess they're not traveling to London. They've been there. You look at some of the guys they have defensively that can help you out. Ronald Darby. Ronald Darby is the number one guy I circle. A guy that's been here before, from the area, and would upgrade you significantly at corner. I would have to put a call in on Ronald Darby. I think it's organizational malpractice if you aren't calling in to check on some of these dudes. And some folks, and the argument continues to be, well, I don't want to mortgage draft capital. Look, depending on what type of caliber of player it is, I am willing to mortgage a little bit of draft capital, and here's why. You currently have the greatest asset in all of the National Football League, talking about Jaden Daniels, arguably a top 5-7 quarterback on a rookie contract. You have to capitalize on this moment. You have officially entered your title window, as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, some of you suffer from SLS, as I like to call it, scoring lover syndrome. It almost pierces your eardrums to hear me say that this team is officially in their Super Bowl window. But when you got a one percenter at quarterback on a rookie contract, that is where you stand. And for that reason, right, I wonder, are they going to be aggressive at the trade deadline? Take your calls on it. 1-800-636-1067. If Washington is 7-2 at the trade deadline, should they be aggressive in trying to add defensive talent? Your calls, plus we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, coming up next. One 800 636 1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Youngest in charge movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Talking all things Commanders trade deadline at the moment. If they are 7-2 following their road trip up to New York to take on the Giants, should they be aggressive and trying to acquire talent at the trade deadline? When I say aggressive, let's be specific here. Because there'd be a couple of teams that could potentially be out of contention at that point that have some premier talent, but it's going to cost you. I mentioned Jalen Ramsey potentially out in Miami. And I know his cap hit may be significant for Miami because of the new deal that he just signed, but that's a guy I would check in on. I mentioned Ron Darby out in Jacksonville, a player at a position of need for you, that on a team rather where, you know, going nowhere fast. I look at New England, the Patriots, in terms of potential pass rush help. A guy like a Keon White, who's come onto the scene for them, is a guy like Jonathan Jones made available by New England. Right, they need help at corner. Now, he's a smaller defensive back, and I don't think he necessarily fits what they want to do at corner. But you get what I'm saying here. At a certain point in time, if you are Dan Quinn and company, you must realize that you have outkicked your coverage at this point. You are better, especially if you're 7-2 after New York. You are marketably better than what you thought you would be internally. And at that point, knowing how good this quarterback is, do you get aggressive trying to upgrade your roster? Because in reality, right, if you win the rest of the games you're supposed to win, you could be an 11-12 win football team by season's end. Doesn't that sound nutty? So in that case, it would be, in my opinion, not wise, not smart, so let's call it what it is, waste one of the years of Jaden Daniels being on a rookie contract. I'm just saying. Another team that I know other folks around the National Football League are calling. Right now, the 1-5 Cleveland Browns already moved Amari Cooper this week. Is a guy like Za'Darius Smith available? Veteran pass rush help. Is a guy like Martin Emerson Jr. available? Veteran guy outside at corner. A guy like Greg Newsome. At the end of the day, I think Washington's record will significantly impact their decision at the deadline. But this idea that they can't give up future draft capital because they're in year one of a rebuild is ludicrous to me. It's ludicrous. Yeah, you're in year one of the rebuild, but you also have a one percenter, as I continue to call him, at the quarterback position, and it is on you as an organization to maximize each and every year that he's on that contract. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If Washington is 7-2 at the trade deadline coming up in a few weeks, should they be aggressive in trying to add defensive talent? Drew is out in Maryland. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, so I think that at 7-2, realistically, we're making the playoffs. And as you said, we could get to 11 or 12 wins, so we probably have the division. So then I think there's two different ways of thinking about the trade. Obviously, you should be on the buy side, right, but there's two different paths you can go. If you think there's a guy like a Myles Garrett that gets you deep into, you know, gets you to the conference or the Super Bowl, and you want to pull the trigger and it doesn't break things, yeah, you can consider it. The other thing you could do is you're going to make trades in March. If you can do those earlier, this is kind of an acceleration of the plan. That's where we're on now. We're just ahead of schedule.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with doing the same deal you would do in March of 2025 in November of 2024 if there's that kind of a trade available, right? Because we're going to constantly try to make the team better,
For sure.
There's no reason to not try to do that now. But those are two different things. I don't think there's a guy that gets us to the Super Bowl this year, so I don't think we need to – that's just kind of pipe dream and fantasy football stuff in my mind. But there's no reason not to accelerate the plan if there's an opportunity to do that. And that's staying on plan, so I don't see it as either or. I see you can do both at the same time.
I agree, but I don't know if I can say in terms of what their ceiling is, I continue to feel like as long as this kid, talking about the quarterback, plays at the level that he's playing at, I don't see any reason why he would all of a sudden regress in play.
Right.
Well, if he's playing,
then you get 11 wins on the track we're on now with no trades.
Right.
If
but
you're at 7-2, right?
But what
so
good
then the question is what are you trying to accomplish?
What good is 11 wins if your defense isn't good enough to win a postseason game for you?
Right, but I think then if you're going to really mortgage something, you got to win more than one. So if there's a guy that gets you two or three games, which is all there is,
right?
Then okay, you know, all the chips in. If that guy's not there or that trade is too high because it breaks your 11 win thing, then I don't know you can do it. But there's definitely second tier trades that you probably would do anyway,
right?
And now's a good time to do it because the market might be right.
Drew, I appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well, at NELL underscore BTP. If you're a Washington and you're 7-2 at the trade deadline, do you get aggressive in trying to add talent to this football team? I say yeah, because you're in your Super Bowl window and you got to maximize that time that Jaden Daniels is, you know, on a rookie deal. But I also understand if you are hesitant. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, spoke earlier this week, and this is cut number two, Vic, and he talked about the trade deadline scenario, and the question was, if roster building has accelerated due to the team's hot start?
Right. That's a good question for Adam, but we talk about the team all the time, you know, so although there's a deadline, it doesn't mean there's a, you know, time that you have to, you know, begin that. And so we spent a lot of time on the roster and the team, and you're right that we did get banged up into some spots, and that's why we are fortunate that the practice squad is bigger, you know, than it was years ago. And you guys can remember that when, you know, there was four players, you know, and then the street list was different and you went through that. But now there's I feel like a really good developmental plan of people that are in the building and practicing and playing. And so when those opportunities come up to go deliver, and although people may have not played a lot of reps, you know, they get their chances. And you probably heard me say it before, but J-Mac is certainly the one that comes to mind for me of when his number was called, you get ready to deliver. And that's just such a pure example for us.
Dan Quinn, kind of copping out on the answer, saying it's ultimately up to Adam Peters and company, but you can bet your ass, like, Dan Quinn. See, there's an interesting dynamic between coach and GM in this circumstance, because it's the GM's job to look big picture. It's the coach's job to want to have the best readily available talent, which means there could be a conflict of interest there. But I wonder, man, Adam Peters and company, they got to be looking at themselves. And they were, you know, sending whispers out of the building all summer long about how much Jaden had impressed and, you know, how mature he was in the work ethic. They couldn't have imagined getting off to a 7-2 start. I think their thought process internally should have changed at this point, because you are much better than you initially thought you were going to be. That's just the reality of the situation. 1-800-636-1067. Cut number four, Vic. Dan Quinn on Wednesday speaking on if there's a situation where he hopes the team acquires players to help the team.
No, because I don't get into, the what ifs and where we're at. The thing that we spend, the time on it, is there anything that's stressing you? Is there, a spot that we need to address and go through? So that's really more where our time's spent. But you're right, there's a lot of people around this time of year that get calls, give calls, all of that. And I think that's just kind of part of this time.
Dan Quinn, keeping it real. Relative to what is going on with the Washington Commanders as we get geared up for the NFL trade deadline. Yeah, it's a tough dynamic because I do understand both sides. The fan in me obviously wants them to be aggressive. Like the last caller said, and like I've been stating here, there are levels to how aggressive you can be at the deadline. I mean, that's the best way I can look at it. So they will get it. I just don't know. Let's put it this way. If I had to put money on it, I think they make a move at the deadline. I do. And I think it's at edge or corner because of how thin they are, those two spots. But if they don't make a move, I don't think I'd be beside myself and upset. Because I understand where they are. David's in Virginia. David.
Hey, how we doing?
What's going on, brother?
Good, man. So I got to take care of that thing. Is somewhat interesting. I was taking a look at the Jonathan Allen contract. Don't get me wrong. I love Jonathan Allen. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good leader in the clubhouse. What I would say is I think he's drastically overpaid for the impact that he's had. I mean, he's making is a $21 million cap hit this year.
Yep.
Let's be honest, he's not a $21 million player. So I think we're going to replace him with some of the subs coming through, with some of the rotations coming through. I don't think we're going to miss him. I'm hoping maybe he comes back healthy enough where you get a good trade for him, start building out that secondary, because that's the real weakness. That's it. That's my take.
I would agree, David. I appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067. You're not trading John Allen coming off a peck. I don't think they're going to be able to get him off the books via trade. I think they're going to cut him. Maybe they designate it post June 1. But, yeah. I mean, looking back at it in hindsight, like the caller said, simply not enough production from him or Daron Payne to be the highest paid defensive tackle duo. But I also wonder, even when they were healthy, the bugaboos that Washington was having stopping the run, are their run game issues more of a schematic thing, or is it a personnel thing? Because Dallas's defense the past couple of years, while good at turning teams over, not good at stopping the run. So we'll see. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. If Washington is 7-2 at the trade deadline, should they be aggressive when it comes to acquiring talent at the NFL's trade deadline? Warrior calls next. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Get you geared up for Dale Green weekend. Big Sunday afternoon coming up from Northwest Stadium. Commanders and Panthers, Washington, trying to get to 5-2 for the first time in a long time as they host the 1-5 Carolina Panthers. I'm doing the thing that you should never do. Well, that's if you're a player. I'm not a player. I'm looking ahead. Because it feels like if they can handle their business this week, it sets up for a massive showdown next weekend against Caleb Williams and the Bears. But when we continue to look ahead at Washington's next stretch of play, we're going to continue to find out a hell of a lot about this group. But I also think if they don't come out of the next six 500 or better, I don't think it's reason to panic either. See, you all look at records when teams face each other. Like this weekend, for instance, Carolina, 1-5. Most folks look at the record and expect that Washington is going to rout the Panthers. If I'm not mistaken, and I got to check this, Washington via FanDuel is listed as 8-point favorites. Is Washington the biggest favorite of the weekend, this weekend, in terms of, like, the spread? And if so, I don't remember the last time that's been the case. But, like, just Vegas even knows. Well, the biggest number is Buffalo, 8.5 over Tennessee. Well, now Washington is up to 8.5-point favorites. So, Washington and Buffalo, two biggest lines of the weekend. And I'll say this from a matchup standpoint. Like, I can see an example or a scenario, rather, in which Washington struggles with Carolina. And I listed it earlier. It's all about what Carolina is able to manufacture on the ground. They're able to move people in the running game. Chuba Hubbard is a decent to above-average NFL back. And to put it nicely, you haven't been able to stop anyone from running the football. Point blank. Give you credit against Cleveland, but for whatever reason, Kevin Stefanski and company just didn't watch the tape weeks prior in terms of what run schemes worked against Washington. It's duo. It's trap. It's counter. We didn't see that from the Cleveland Browns a couple weekends ago. So I am curious to see what happens on Sunday and if Washington can force Carolina into being one-dimensional. Because if they can't, I don't think Washington loses. And I hope the hell not. But I think it's a lot closer maybe than we're maybe expecting it to be. And that's okay. That's okay. The one thing I continue to say, it is hard. I don't care what your record is. It is hard to win games week in and week out in the National Football League. Doesn't matter what the record is. You ask any coach around America, and they'll answer it the same way. It's just tough. It's just tough. Now, I wonder, right, if you were the Commanders this week, how do you choose to attack this group? How do you choose to attack this group? Because I think offensively, getting Brian Robinson back this week, having your hammer, I think it's a perfect time to have him because you're going up against a Carolina defense that doesn't stop the run well. Don't play the pass well either. Carolina's third in the NFL in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. So I would expect a heavy dose of all three of the backs, Jeremy McNichols, Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson. Jaden Daniels maybe gets in on the party. That's the key to this, though. I don't think that they're going to come out and throw the ball around the yard because it's Carolina and they don't respect their opponent. I think their best way to win this week is running the football. And if you watched Atlanta and Carolina last week, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier both damn near went over 100 yards. So, like, that is where you can have an extreme amount of success against this Carolina defense who just hasn't been able to stop anybody. The other storyline in this that maybe we haven't touched on a lot, and I guess this is why he's a captain this week, Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn going back to Carolina. Two guys that were basically gave up on by an organization that's a complete dumpster fire and bottom feeder. So if you don't think that adds any extra motivation for those two guys, you don't understand the way professional sports works. I almost called it combat sports. Damn it, in the NFL it is a combat sport. It's a fight in a phone booth if you're a member of the offensive line or a defensive line. That's the other storyline in this. Frankie Louvu from day one, and I noticed this because I'm a nerd for the press conference, this has been very cognizant of dropping a friendly comment when talking about the Panthers in his time there because he appreciates how that franchise was able to put him on display to where he can earn a significant contract like he did this summer with Washington. Louvu is a part of this group. It's a bunch of misfits. Jeremy Chinn wasn't wanted. Louvu wasn't wanted. Cliff wasn't wanted. Hell, Dan Quinn wasn't wanted. Even by some of you. Austin Eckler was told he was too old by Jim Harbaugh and company. Right? So, a lot of guys that Tyler Biadasz, the center, was basically told, hey, You're not important enough to our offense for us to pay you. And he's been phenomenal to start the year. So can that underdog mentality, that constantly being overlooked mentality, can that carry you in a game against a weaker opponent? We'll find out Sunday. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we get back, we'll start to take a deeper dive into the matchup on Sunday. I'll give you my key Commanders on the other side of the break. Who must step up in order for Washington to win big Sunday against the Panthers? 8 o'clock hour, coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.